I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, welcome once again to my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, and today we are paying tribute and remembering the late, great Rowdy Roddy Piper. As of this recording, we're about 48 hours removed from the news of his untimely passing. Of course, it's been all over social media, the WWE, TMZ, even ABC National News has reported on this. So myself and Chad and one of my longtime friends who I've known since elementary school, Rick Brewer, is going to be joining us as well. Because, Rick, I reached out to you on Facebook. You reached out to me after hearing the news of Rowdy Roddy Piper and his passing. I think back to our childhood, and we met in the second grade and have been friends ever since. But one of the things, I was a Hulkamaniac, and you loved Rowdy Roddy Piper. In fact, last night on Facebook, you called him your childhood hero. So what was it about Hot Rod at that young age? Because, you know, when we were watching wrestling growing up, we were supposed to boo guys like Roddy Piper.
Well, if you remember back, I was a little guy. Mm-hmm. Red hair. And I look on TV and I see this guy who's strawberry blonde, doesn't have the best body. You know, he's not very muscular. He's not tall. He's not built. And then you see Hulk Hogan. This is 6'6", 304 pound guy from Venice Beach, California, that just goes mowing through everybody. And then here comes this little guy with this big mouth and this bombastic personality that will stand up to the guy. And it was kind of like a reverse bully kind of thing, at least for me. I looked at Hulk Hogan as the bully. And here's this little guy that's kind of like the dog in the old Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the little puppy standing up to the bulldog. And that's kind of why I like Piper, because I could relate to him just because he was me. You know, he was a smaller guy with weird hair, but he didn't take any guff off anybody, and he stood up to these guys that looked like they should have just walked right through him.
And that was always the interesting dynamic, because we went to our very first WWE show, or our very first wrestling house show, was in the winter of 84, and Piper, of course, was on the show wrestling the Junkyard Dog, but also interfered and attacked Jimmy Superfly Snuka as well. And I remember you kind of applauding that, whereas I was, you know, behind the Junkyard Dog, behind Jimmy Snuka. Whoever was up against Piper, he was the guy I loved to hate. So talk us through those early memories of seeing him in person. What was that like watching Hot Rod in action?
More than that, I remember the second time that we went to a WWF show where he fought Snuka. And, you know, it's like, it's your hero come to life. You know, you see these guys on TV, and I guess there's a certain disconnect there. You know, they're behind the glass on the television. And then all of a sudden, you're in this arena, and people are going crazy, and everybody's booing this guy. But yet, here he is, you know, doing whatever he wanted to do, saying whatever he wanted to say. And it was just amazing for me, because it made him a real person to me. You know, because your hero's right there. You know, you can see him in the flesh. And I would remember, too, that we would, when the wrestlers would make their entrances, we would run down to the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
And see these guys. And I think you actually touched Hulk Hogan. And it's an amazing thing when you're a kid, when you get to see these larger-than-life people in front of you, and yet they're 6 feet away from you. You know, it makes them human, and it makes everything a little bit more real.
And I think that's why a lot of us, because, you know, it's not just the wrestling fans who have responded and reacted to the passing of Roddy Piper, but even people who maybe watched when they were kids and now they're not into it so much, but they're like, oh my gosh, I remember him, he was my favorite. Chad, I want to talk to you. We'll get to what happened with you a little bit later in life with Roddy Piper, but talk about your childhood memories of Hot Rod, because if I remember correctly, you were a pretty big Piper fan as a child as well, is that right?
Not exactly. I have to say that, you know, going off Hogan and Piper, it's the only time I ever cheered Hogan was at WrestleMania 1.
Really?
And that was because I hated Piper so much.
Oh, wow, okay. I thought it was the opposite.
I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then, you know, my first live pay-per-view show, I saw Hogan wrestle Piper. Just, unfortunately, 11 years after that match was any good, but...
Yeah, that was a WCW event, right?
Yeah, that was Starrcade 96. But yeah, growing up, I didn't value Piper the way that I would now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he was just the trash-talking, loudmouth, annoying guy. And I didn't realize how good he was at his job. But I mean, yeah, anybody that grew up in the 80s, you can't deny the impact that Piper had. And I don't know if Piper has said it or if Hogan has said it, but I don't think there would have been a Hulk Hogan without a Roddy Piper.
That's what I wanted to talk about next, because you have to have that great foil, that great villain, to make the superhero seem that much more significant and that much better. Of all the heels in the WWF back in, you know, 84, 85, you know, you had Big John Studd, you had Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, Dr. D. David Schultz, Adrian Adonis, Dick Murdoch, those guys. Piper was the man. I don't know that anybody could have been any better suited for that role to help catapult Hulkamania and the WWF and make it a global entity. What do you guys think about that? Rick, we'll start with you.
It's Piper that's been saying that. I don't think you'd ever hear those words come out of Hogan's mouth. You know, just with his ego and everything. But,
I think he would, but there might be some other words possibly describing Piper.
Probably not anymore. Hopefully he's learned a lesson and might be a little bit more careful with the words that he chooses. But yeah, Piper said that repeatedly. Just that without him, there would have been no Hulk Hogan and no Hulkamania, and I agree. Exactly to your point, Kevin, that without that perfect foil, Hulkamania would have never grown. Roddy Piper was the sunshine in the water that nurtured the seed that let Hulkamania grow.
And it's interesting, too, because I know that, you know, Piper has talked about it. And when you're a kid, you don't really think much about it. But I have gone back and, you know, thanks now to the WWE Network and, of course, YouTube, you know, Piper claims that Hogan never pinned him. And you go back and you look at the arena results in the old Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazines. And any time the two fought, Piper was either disqualified or Hogan was disqualified or someone was counted out. But Hogan ran through everyone from Big John Studd to Andre the Giant to Bob Orton to Paul Orndorff. But he never pinned Hot Rod. So that to me is also a testament to the success of Piper in helping make that Hulkamania thing so much more real as a fan growing up.
Yeah, and I think it goes to show, too, what a good businessman Piper was. I think he realized his worth to the company, and he had enough stroke and enough say that he could veto any of those if they were a planned finish where he would go down 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring. He had enough stroke and enough success with the company that he could say no, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to keep myself strong. And even 11 years later in WCW, you know, that was one of the main parts of that storyline. Is that I think in his first promo when he came out, he said, "Hogan, you've never pinned me." And fortunately, it was true. And I think it made that whole storyline just more dynamic and a little bit more believable because, you know, even at that point in time, Hogan and the NWO had been running roughshod, just running through everybody. But yet, here comes this guy that Hogan's never been able to beat. And I think it just made that whole storyline more intriguing because then you wanted to see what was going to happen. And if I remember right, in that match, didn't he beat Hogan with a sleeper?
He did. Yes, he. And that was the confusion in the arena, because they never, I don't think, explicitly said that the match was a non-title match. So when Piper won, everybody was excited. And then the next night on Nitro, you know, they were like, oh, it was non-title. And they ended up kicking the Giant out of the NWO. But, yeah, I mean, that match was so... The one thing I remember from that match, too, is kind of breaking the wall of wrestling. But the Giant had come down to interfere and was going to choke slam Piper behind the referee's back. So he's got Piper up, and a fan jumps into the ring. And the referee, which I believe was Randy Anderson, and Hogan start kicking the crap out of the fan, trying to get him out of the ring. And Piper's, like, talking to the Giant, saying, wait, wait. And so Giant just holds Piper up for a good, probably 10, 15 seconds, waiting for them to get the fan out of the ring before raking the Giant's eyes and getting out and then getting Hogan in the sleeper. But, yeah, it was so interesting that the fan reaction to that match opposed to, you know, when they were in WWF. And that's the other good thing about Piper is, you know, he was the most hated heel, but then he became one of the most lovable faces.
And that was really, to me, in 86 when he turned face, you know, I became obviously more accepting of him. I got the, they had the line of stretch figures. LJN had put out, I remember having a Rowdy Roddy Piper and a Junkyard Dog stretch figure. So obviously I had welcomed him into the fold. But his face turn was one of my most memorable Piper moments. What to you guys, Chad, we'll start with you, as a kid, what stood out to you as Piper? What was, if you think back on Rowdy Roddy Piper's career, and it doesn't have to be from childhood, what to you stood out to him, to you as him as a professional wrestler and as a performer in the ring?
I'm going to go back with how my viewing as a kid was much less critical than it is now. So I never, you know, work rate and talent and all the stuff that we complain about now, I never really looked at it. I just saw this character who, and Roddy played the character to a T. You know, he was just this great heel, and then the sympathetic face leaving for Hollywood. It was just something. He was much like Hogan. He was a larger than life persona, and that just drew you in. And I can't say anything about his work or anything like that because I didn't focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the persona of Piper.
Rick, was there a defining moment or a couple of things that he ever did that stand out to you as most memorable?
I liked him when he was working with Flair and Mid-Atlantic. I didn't see that, obviously, as a child, because we didn't have that in our area. Mm-hmm. Going back and looking at that, those were some amazing, amazing times that I don't think a lot of people have even been able to see. I do have one particular memory, though, and it was from a Saturday night's main event around Halloween time. And they did this pre-tape where he's at his house, the little kids come trick-or-treating, and he steals all their candy. And I just remember as a kid thinking, you know what, even though he's being mean to those kids, that was just so funny. And looking at it now, it's an incredibly cheesy scene. But it shows me, too, that he wasn't afraid to make himself look a little stupid to progress his character and to play the bad guy that you're not supposed to like, that you're legitimately supposed to hate and boo against. And that kind of impresses me, too, because I kind of think it shows what he was willing to sacrifice. You know, instead of always trying to be, you know, the badass who, you know, chews bubblegum and kicks ass, that, you know, he would also be willing to make himself look foolish, too, just to get the people to hate him more. And I appreciate that because, in a way, that was a bit of a sacrifice.
Yeah, and I think that today, you know, in today's environment, nobody you know, the heels don't want to truly play that heel role. Piper was, you know, he was brazen and bold and he was tough, but he also, when it was time to be a coward, he would duck out of the ring or he would, you know, leave Piper's pit or he'd walk away. He didn't, there was no, even though there was, I'm sure, ego involved, it never came off that way. Like, I legitimately wanted to see him get his ass kicked, and, you know, I wanted to see him, you know, whether it was smashing the coconut over Jimmy Snuka's head, or whether it was, you know, kicking Dave Wolf, or, you know, hitting Lou Albano with, or body slamming Dave Wolf, I guess, hitting Lou Albano over the head with the Cyndi Lauper's Grammy Award. You know, it was those kinds of moments that, you know, this guy is a coward and a chicken. He's beating up on women and, you know, 150-pound music managers, but there was something about that that defined him as a person. And then also, really, we talked about it with Hulkamania, but also that whole rock and wrestling connection. I can still remember having on beta tape recording the whole thing on MTV where he was, you know, calling it Music to Vomit By, but then participated in the wrestling album and sings a song on there. So it was, I just can't put it into words the impact he had on I think, I know my childhood, and I know your childhood too as well, Rick.
Like I said, he was my childhood hero. Just kind of, you know, let me know that, hey, sometimes the little guy can win. Now, getting back to what you were talking about, too, I think one of the things about his character, too, is that he came across as he was smart enough to know when to pick his spots. You never saw him in a situation where he was going to be overmatched or intimidated where he didn't lead. You know, anytime that he was personality, he went on the attack, it was always in a situation that he had set up that it would be to his advantage. You know, kind of like what you said, when he kicked Cyndi Lauper, he body slammed Dave Wolf, he hit Lou Albano with the gold record. Who else was in the ring that was going to protect those guys?
Not Dick Clark.
Yeah, exactly. The gold record probably would have just bounced off his hair. But he was, the character was smart enough where he picked his spots. And it made him come across as more devious and conniving because he always seemed to put himself in a situation to succeed.
Do you think, because, you know, in today's environment, you know, titles are exchanged on a almost sometimes a weekly, monthly basis, we never saw Roddy Piper win any gold until 1992 when he won the Intercontinental title and held it very briefly. But as we mentioned earlier, you never really saw Piper get pinned either. It wasn't, I would have to go back and double check for sure, but I'm almost certain that it wasn't until Bret Hart pinned him for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania 8 that Piper hadn't been pinned up until that point in the WWF. Do you think that was part of the reason why they were ever reluctant to put the title or any kind of championship on him? Or was that just his character? He didn't need it. He was already over enough with the fans.
I think it's a combination of a few things. I think it's because he was big enough and over enough that he didn't need the title. But at the same time, too, and this is just purely speculation, but maybe because he was protective of his character, he might have been hard to work with backstage, and they may not have trusted him with the title because, you know, obviously Vince wants to control his championships, and he would want a willing partner with that, and maybe Piper would have just been too disagreeable or too hard to work with, so Vince never actually trusted him with the belt.
That makes sense. Chad, and we're going to kind of bounce around here and go childhood versus adulthood or whatever. We had the opportunity to obviously see him wrestle at WrestleMania 25 in that 3-on-1 match against Chris Jericho, but you had an opportunity to meet Hot Rod not too very long, a couple years ago, I guess. Now, talk a little bit about the circumstances around that.
All right. Yeah, it was about 3 years ago. One of the local theaters out here in Los Angeles, the New Beverly, did a screening of They Live and had a Q&A with Piper afterwards. And I've got some video from the event. I'm not sure if it's on our Facebook page. If not, I'll try to get that put up.
It's definitely on the YouTube channel, for sure.
Okay, so you can go there. It's not the best audio quality, because I was kind of sitting in the back, and the New Bev is not known for their great sound. It's a, you know, it's an old single theater that anybody that grew up in the 70s and 80s are used to. But yeah, Piper just talked about making They Live, which was his, I believe, first Hollywood film after leaving, after WrestleMania 3, and after the movie was over, you know, I've gone to several Q&A events and stuff, and it's kind of hit or miss whether the person will stick around and sign autographs or if they try to get out quickly. But Roddy Piper was the complete opposite of what you would expect from him watching him in 1985. He went out into the lobby, and I think he stayed there until everybody who wanted a photo or wanted an autograph or wanted to just say hi had got that chance. And he was like, you go up and you're like, oh, can I get a photo? Oh, yeah, he'd grab you around the shoulders, pull you in, and he was just so lovable. He was so appreciative of the fans that were there that, what do you want? What do you need? Okay, let me do this. And just so genuine, too. It wasn't like, okay, yeah, let me come on, take this photo. Yeah, sure, great. Thanks for coming out. It was, you could just tell by his actions and everything that he genuinely cared about these fans who had come out to support this film that was 30 years old. You know, it was just, it was a very, it wasn't what I was expecting going mm-hmm. into, you know. And it was shortly after they had taped Legends House, which for those that don't know, Legends House set on the shelf for about a year or two before being aired. And so he was talking about how he just finished this, and he was like, oh, living with Pat Patterson, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, yeah, and then Hacksaw Jim Duggan's here, and Duggan and his wife, and I think daughter, were in the crowd hanging out. But, yeah, it was just a very moving experience, because Piper was just so awesome, and it was a great experience.
Yeah, you say that, and I've seen a lot of our friends, either that we've met at WrestleMania through the years, or just friends of the My123Cents page have met Piper and posted pictures, and they've echoed your comments too. But you also, because we've done these meet and greets before, and sometimes it, like you said, it's a cattle call, and you're going through, and it's like, okay, snap, okay, next person, next. And with Piper, in all these pictures I've seen of him with folks that we know, you can see it in his eyes, you can see it in his smile, that he is legitimately living that moment and loving the opportunity to meet the fans who, you know, at the end of the day, helped kind of build and create that character, and you know, 30 years later, make him still one of the most lovable and memorable personalities in the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah, and if I can jump in real quick,
yeah,
I'm not sure of all the details, but I believe recently Piper had a thing on his website where, for a small fee, you could get him to record a personal message for you. And so my friend Eric, who's a huge Piper fanatic, just had a birthday a month ago, got Piper to do this, and then he posted the message on Facebook, and you know, all he said was, you know, I'm turning, I think, 45, do you have any advice, you know, can you get me? And Piper sent back a like 2 to 3 minute message, but it wasn't like, oh, thanks Eric, happy birthday, but it was like, again, genuine, like you could tell, like, okay, here's what you should do. You know, make sure you stay in good health, get your health checked, and just kind of a personal message to, you would think that he actually had met Eric before.
Wow.
And we were talking yesterday about it, and he's like, and Eric's like, yeah, you know, one thing I didn't notice until like the 50th viewing is there are birthday balloons in the background. And he's like, I don't know if he did that just for me or if it just happy coincidence, but it's, I will take it as that is a personal little touch that Piper did to make that video meaningful. So, and I don't know who else is, you know, I'm sure there are other videos out there that you can probably search and find, but it's just something like that where, like you said, it's not a generic response, like, thanks, happy birthday, done. It's Piper taking the time to actually make things personal.
That says a lot about his character, and I, you know, a lot of people have been, because we kind of got to see his family through the episode of Wife Swap he did with Ric Flair on ABC, I guess probably about a year or so ago, and there's a lot of talk about his son, Colt, who is also training to be a professional wrestler, and if you ever listened to Roddy's podcast, he talked very fondly of Colt and called him his best friend. I certainly hope that he continues to pursue this, because hopefully it is genetic and he's able to carry on some of that tradition of Hot Rod Rowdy Roddy Piper. Do you guys, you know, I'm, I you guys want to share some more stories? What do you want to do, Rick? What are some more thoughts that you have on Hot Rod?
Listening to his podcast, you kind of got to know the man behind the character, and exactly what you said. He came across as a lot. I mean, it seemed like everybody that was on there, he would always make sure that he told them that he loved him.
Yeah.
Talking about his son, he's like you said. He said his son's his best friend. And that struck a chord with me, too, and kind of drew me closer to him because I feel the same way about my son. And it's like, well, now we've got something in common. But he just came across as such a genuine, caring, compassionate human being that was so different than the character he played. And I guess that is a testament to his talent. That the Roddy Piper, Robert Toombs, the man, was so different from Rowdy Piper, but that Piper character was so believable. I mean, you thought that he was this conniving, devious guy, and then you find out that he, you know, behind the curtain, or when he's at home, he's just this big teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like with Hulk Hogan, he's what you see is what you get. You know, he's what's the extension or the typical saying? It's your personality with the volume turned up to 10.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't Piper, because that wasn't his personality turned up to 10. It was like he would put on, you know, a different skin when, you know, the red light would come on the camera or when he would go to the ring and make it so believable. And I think that's just a testament to the talent that he had.
Very true. One of the other things that made Rowdy Piper unique to me was his ability to talk. And Piper's Pit, to me, will still go down as the greatest wrestling talk show, whatever they, I don't remember exactly how they would describe Piper's Pit and the body shop and the barber shop and all those little segments, but to me, Piper's Pit was always one of my favorite parts of watching wrestling WWF superstars on Sunday mornings on KPLR TV 11 in the St. Louis area. It usually happened around 11:30, about the halfway through the show, they'd break to Piper's Pit, and there were so many memorable segments with Piper. But Chad, what was it? Do you think about Piper's Pit? Did you enjoy Piper's Pit as well? And what was it about the show that you liked?
I did, and I think it was especially for that time.
You there?
Yeah.
Okay.
During that stretch, you know, back in the 80s, Piper's Pit was, at least as far as I know and everything, it was original, and it was different. And as I said, Piper just had that personality to engage you in what he was talking about, even when he would have, you know, like, trying to think of some of the jobbers that he would have on. You know, he...
Frank Williams?
What's that?
Frank Williams, when he beat him up.
Yeah. I'm all higher. He just had that, he had a great talk show persona. And I believe, didn't he even fill in on the Joan Rivers show for her?
He may very well have. I'm not sure about that.
I seem to have a mental image of him sitting at the desk. Maybe it was just, he was a guest and took over. I'm not sure. But, you know, I think it was just something different. It was an interesting way to get angles over, get stories over that didn't involve two guys that were feuding actually interacting. And I think it's something that is very sorely missing from today's wrestling product. But yeah, it was always entertaining just to see what he was going to say, what outrageous thing he would do, and... You know, I got into wrestling after the Snooket incident. So for me, the moment that I always focus on is when he had Andre on, and Andre ripped the chain off of Hogan's neck and challenging for WrestleMania 3. That's the one that stands out to me.
Rick, any memorable Piper's Pit moments for you?
Well, I will say Chad's got a better memory than me. It does look like Piper was on the Joan Rivers show in 87.
Wow.
Promoting the lead up to WrestleMania 3. She had him on for a 10-minute segment, and it looks like he completely took over the show. I have no memory of that.
I don't either.
But yeah, in talking about that Piper's Pit with Andre, just at the very end, when Hogan's kneeling down, and Piper just kind of bends over and looks at him, and he just says in a very subdued voice, "You're bleeding." And it just kind of put the exclamation point on that whole segment. As far as memorable Piper's Pits, I mean, where do you start? Morton Downey Jr. with the fire extinguisher, shaving the midget, Frankie from Ohio. You know, everybody likes to talk about, you know, Jimmy snuck in the coconut. But to me, it was kind of like what you guys had said. It was just him having the jobbers on there and just disrespecting these guys and talking so much trash. I absolutely loved it because he would be saying the stuff that, you know, back at that point in my life, I would have never had the guts to say. And I'm just like, look at this guy. He's nuts. It's awesome. You know, just running these guys down. You know, when he would have the, who did he put the Harley Race, when he put the toilet seat,
mm-hmm.
Harley Race's neck and told him, "There's your crown." Do that to Harley Race. That takes some guts. Because from everything I've heard, I mean, didn't they sent Harley with Flair to Japan to protect Flair so he wouldn't get shot on?
Yeah.
Harley's a bad dude. And, you know, I mean, I hope he talked to Harley beforehand, because if he just did that on his own and in spur of the moment, holy cow, that could have gone very, very bad for the run. We might have been having this podcast, you know, 20 years earlier. But, it was just like you said, you know, you'd wake up on Sunday morning, watch a world-class championship wrestling, and then the WWF would come on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd sit around and just wait for Hot Rod to come on the screen, because you never knew what to expect.
Yeah, I would say it's fair that, because we didn't get Hulk every week on Superstars by any means, and I think that getting that dose of Piper every week, you were getting one of the big name guys, whether he was wrestling or whether he was just standing there talking on the mic. And for me, he had taken that little hiatus, and it was leading up to the face turn. When he comes back with the baseball bat and destroys the flower shop, to me, that I still legitimately get goosebumps watching that clip because of the emotion that he had, and it takes me back to that time where I'm like, okay, this guy is, you know, he's here for the right reasons, and you know, I totally bought into the face versus heel dynamic as a kid, and you know, took my vitamins, said my prayers, and cheered for Hulk Hogan. But when Piper came out and did that, and then followed it up on Saturday night's main event, when he saved Hogan from the attack by Adonis and Mr. Wonderful, you know, it legitimized Piper to me as a wrestling character.
I think another testament to him is if you look back in 1984 and 1985, he was Pro Wrestling Illustrated's most hated wrestler of the year. And then in 1986, most popular wrestler of the year. I still remember him on the cover of that issue.
Yeah.
But more to that point, too, is who's he feuding with in 86? Paul Orndorff. So he elevated Paul Orndorff, and guess who was the most hated wrestler in 1986, according to Pro Wrestling Illustrated?
Yeah, it was
Paul Orndorff.
Paul Orndorff, yeah. That's amazing.
Who else has ever been able to do anything like that? You know, to go from, you know, somebody that everybody just hates to, in 1 year, the most popular guy in the industry. You know, I mean, maybe if John Cena had his heel turn, he might be able to pull it off, but I don't think so. Because I don't think that his talent level, per se, and this might make some people mad, but as far as his promos and things like that, would give him the ability to make that big of a switch that quick and to get people to buy into it. But I think that just speaks to how good Roddy was, where he would just go for being the most hated guy in the industry for 2 years, and then the very next year, the most beloved, over Hulk Hogan, even.
Well, guys, as we begin to kind of wrap up, and I know we've all said a lot of memorable and kind words about Hot Rod Roddy Piper, I want to get your final thoughts, if you guys want to share another memory, or what else you want to kind of say as we begin to wind down this episode of My 1-2-3 Cents? Chad, do you you want to go first?
Sure. The death of Piper is kind of odd to me right now. It's that I don't think it's fully hit. I got your text while I was at work on Friday, and for those that don't know, I guess I will reveal. I work in the promo department at TMZ, so whenever a story goes up online, we get an email about it. And I've been away from my desk and hadn't seen it, so I just got your text like, "Is this news true?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And then when I got back to my desk and I saw the story, and it was shocking because, I mean, Piper seemed to be in good health recently, and you know, unexpected. But at the same time, it hasn't hit me the way like Dusty Rhodes' death hit. I don't know what it is, and it could be just some things that have gone on personally right now. Like I'm kind of numb to it, but this is another death, unexpected as it is, but it's part of our childhood dying off. With Dusty, with Macho Man, with Warrior, it's like, you know, I don't wish any ill on any of the other former older wrestlers, but you know, how long is it going to be before Hogan, Flair, and then die? And it's just, I think it's a processing moment, a reminder that we're not as young as we'd like to think we are, and as far as the wrestling world goes, losing both Dusty and Piper within a matter of weeks, you know, I think the talent coming up at NXT, I don't know who they can bring in now to teach the art of promos, which is a dying art in wrestling. But yeah, two of the best talkers are, you know, have left recently, and it's a... I'm curious to see what's going to happen on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
After Macho Man died, then CM Punk started doing the elbow. I want to know, see if someone's going to bring back the sleeper as a tribute to Piper.
It'll be that. I think that's when it will become more real for us. When that, you know, I would assume that on Raw, you'll see the 10 bell salute and yeah, you know, the superstars and divas will be lined up, and I have no doubt it'll be an emotional night. Rick, for you, any final thoughts, memories that you want to state?
Yeah, I almost don't want to watch Raw tomorrow because, kind of like what you guys said, to me it's not real yet because I had just seen the guy on a talk show. I just listened to his podcast, you know, and he seemed so full of life. I know that the term "gone too soon" is used way too often, but at 61 years old, and he was so full of life, it amazes me that someone that full of life and love for life is gone. It's not real. And I almost don't want to watch Raw because that will make it real. And in my head, I don't want to accept that. This has hit me. I haven't been hit this hard by a wrestling death since a very bad day in June of 2007 that we don't need to get into. But I have the same feeling of kind of a disconnect where, you know what's happening, but it's almost like it's in a movie and it's not real, and you know you're going to leave the theater and then the story's going to be over and everything will be back to normal. And I'm not looking forward to tomorrow night because, kind of like what you had said, Kevin, that's going to put the period on the end of that sentence, and I want to keep reading, but I know I can't.
Yeah, I totally agree, and as Chad mentioned, I did text him. Someone had posted the link to TMZ on my Facebook page, and I, you know, TMZ is great at breaking these kinds of stories. As a journalist, you know, I do go to TMZ because 9 times out of 10 they're right about it, and I kept refreshing the page and I kept wishing and hoping this was a rib, this was a joke, that they were wrong, that, you know, and that's why I texted Chad and said, "Is this story for real?" And then, you know, my phone blew up that night from wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans, you know, saying, have you heard what's going on? This can't be real. And like Rick said, you know, on Raw Monday night, there's going to be a period at the end of this sentence, and it's going to be sad and it's going to be emotional. And, you know, there's not much else to say other than, you know, Roddy Piper, one of the all-time greats, is no longer with us. But on the same token, or by the same token, we have the WWE Network, and we have YouTube, and we will, his memory, his legacy will live on for much, much longer. And that's, I guess, the selfish side of things for us as wrestling fans. We do have the memories, and we pray for his family, his wife, and his children, and his grandchildren, and his fans and friends, because I think there's a lot of us that are mourning and feeling the same way right now. So, on that note, we're going to end this episode of My 1-2-3 Cents. I want to thank Rick for joining us. Rick, we'll certainly have you back again. I enjoy your insight and catching up on things from our childhood. Chad, as always, will be continuing to write blogs over at my123cents.com. Gentlemen, I appreciate you guys. Take care of your families and yourselves, and we'll be back together again at some point.
Thank you for having me.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.